Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur, the second line from the top of Daf Pei Gimel. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, and we've written V'hachil Chole B'Yom Kippur. The issue concerns a person who is ill, and can we feed him on Yom Kippur? Al pi atzmoi, because he says he needs to eat. Al pi roifim, based on the expertise of doctors. The Gemara, second line from the top, quotes from the Mishnah, Chole Machilin Oisoi Al Pi Bekiyin. A person was ill, he is to be fed on Yom Kippur by virtue of the testimony of the experts, the Bekiyin, the doctors, the experts. Omar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai features two halachas, and we've numbered them. Number one, Chole Oimer Tzorich. The Roife Oimer Eino Tzorich. The patient says, I need to eat. The doctor says, he doesn't need to eat. Shemin L'Chole. We heed the patient, and he shall eat. My Taimo. And what's the basis of this? Leiv Yodea Moras Nafsho. The heart knows its own pain. The Gemara asks Pshita, it's obvious that you will listen to the patient. He says he needs to eat. Mahu detema, one might have thought, without Rabbi Yanai, Roife kim lei tfei, the doctor is more expert, komash malon, so Rabbi Yanai is here to tell me that in all due respect to the expertise of the doctor, we nevertheless heed the desire of the patient. Roife Oimer Tzorach, this is number two. A Roife, an individual doctor, says, patient needs to eat. V'choyle Oimer Eino Tzorach. And the patient says, I don't need to eat. Shoymin L'Roife. We listen to the doctor and feed him. Feed the patient. My Taimo. Why is that? In other words, isn't the patient saying he doesn't need to eat? The Gemara says, Tunva hu denokit lei. Rashi says, Tunva is shtus. He's lost it. He's in a stupor because of his cholio. In other words, he doesn't know what he's saying when he says, I don't need to eat. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a marking scheme, which on the side of the Gemara, we've explained under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, the triangle represents Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take in the Gemara. You'll notice that the triangle's direction flips back and forth. So with the tip facing upwards, they will be introducing Kushos al Dino Shel Rabbi Yanai, questions that challenge Rabbi Yanai, and the inverted triangle represents Tshuvos. So as we go along, we'll have to take note, are we in a question mode or an answer mode? Tanan. The Gemara quotes our Mishnah, and from inferences, we will in effect be asking on both points that Rabbi Yanai made. So the Mishnah says, Chole machilin oisei al pi bekiyin. Now, let us draw inferences. Al pi bekiyin in, al pi atzmo lo. Only if the experts say he needs to eat, not if the patient says that he needs to eat. That, and Rav Yanai, if you compare the dashed underline here and what we dashed underlined above, Rabbi Yannai claims Shemin L'Choyla. Here we see Al Pi Atzmalo. We don't listen to the Choyla. We don't listen to the patient. Number two, the Mishnah said Al Pi Bekiyin. Bekiyin is in the plural form. Two, or at least two. Two doctors. So if two doctors say that he needs to eat in, then we give him to eat. Al Pi Boki Echad Loi. But based on the testimony of a singular rofe, we won't listen. Now, compare this to what we dashed underlined just a few lines above, four lines up, Shoymin L'Rofe. There we said we will listen to the rofe in the singular. Here we're seeing to the contrary. So in the short quote from the Mishnah and the two inferences that we just drew, we end up challenging the two points that Rabbi Yannai made. The Gemara responds, Hocho b'mayaskinan, the case of the Mishnah, dechile, the Omar, where the patient says, Lo tzarichna, I don't need. So, Rabbi Yannai was talking about a case where the chole says, I need to eat. The Mishnah is talking about a different case. The Rashi says on the second narrow line, the Mishnah that spoke about the case of the Mishnah is where the chole says, I don't need to eat. And the Mishnah tells us that we listen to the doctors. Well, okay, we listen to the doctors, but that doesn't challenge Rav Yannai. Rav Yannai said, in a case like that, where the Chayla says, I don't need to eat, and the Roife says he needs to eat, so we listen to the Roife. The Gemara continues. V'lisfu lei al pi boki. Why don't we give him to eat based on the testimony of one? Now, let's go back over this. The Mishnah said that the Chole says, I don't need to eat. If we look in the Rashi, V'nisfu lei al pi boki, d'ha be'echod nami, omar Rabbi Yannai d'shoymin l'roife. So, the Mishnah spoke about feeding him with the testimony of two doctors. If Rabbi Yannai is correct, so we should be able to feed him based on one doctor. So this represents another question. Hence you see the triangle is with the point facing up. The Gemara responds, Loi tzricha, the ikha achrina bahadei de omar loy tzorech. There's another rofe agreeing with the patient, saying he doesn't need to eat. So under circumstances like that, you have not just the patient saying he doesn't need to eat, but another doctor agreeing with him. Under circumstances like that, we will not listen to a singular doctor that says he needs to eat. Under circumstances like that, we'll need to have a couple of doctors saying he needs to eat. At this point, we see a bracketed section. The note on the side that we've included reads, Sograyim l'shem dilug. The brackets are for skipping. Kedei lishmor al retzef ha-chashiva, so that we can maintain a single trend of thought. B'soicham ha-gemora she'eles lomo tzorech ha-mishna loymar shemachilim al-pi b'kiin ha-repshita de-sofek nefoshes la-hokel. In the brackets, the Gemara is going to be asking on the basic din of the Mishnah that says that we feed a person based on the testimony of doctors. That's obvious. There's a principle that says when there's a matter of something life-threatening, we are always lenient. But before we get to the bracketed contents, we skip a moment. Up till now, we set up the Mishnah so as to not be a challenge to Rabbi Yanai, the Mishnah is, that says we're talking about a case where the chayla is saying he doesn't need to eat, a doctor agrees with him, and we say only if you have multiple doctors saying he needs to eat, then we will nevertheless give him to eat. But again, just to sound, even though we're sounding a bit repetitious, we set up the circumstances of the Mishnah where the chayla says, I don't need to eat. The Gemara asks on the second wide line, V'ha midat katani seifa v'im ein sham bekiyin. If there are no doctors, machilin oisoi al pi atzmoi, we give him to eat based on his request, where he is saying he needs to eat, michlav the resha da matzorach. It must be that in the resha, where the Mishnah spoke about the presence of bekiyin, of doctors, he was saying, likewise, I need to eat. Not like we set it up just before the brackets. The Gemara will respond. But before we get to that, let's go over the bracketed section. Machilin oisoi al pi bekiyin. The Mishnah said that if someone is sick, we give him to eat based on the testimony of doctors. Pshita, that's obvious. Safek nefashas lahokel. Safek nefashas who? The safek nefashas lahokel. You're dealing with someone who's death, who's in a life in a danger, in a danger situation, endangering situation. And when you have any doubt, we are lenient in cases of something that's safek nefashas. So why do I need the Mishnah to spell out that which is obvious? Loi tzricha, the case of the Mishnah is, de'ika trei achrini bahadei, the amri loi tzorech. Together with the chayla, who we set up the Mishnah saying, is claiming I don't need, together with him you have two doctors that are maskim, that agree he doesn't need to eat. And by the way, we have a long answer marking here, Pete. We need to go through a few lines to develop the point. So we say that the Mishnah, which says we feed him al pi bekiyin, is telling us a chiddush, because we're talking about a case where the true you have doctors saying he needs to eat, but you've got the chayla plus two other doctors saying he doesn't need to eat. So you have a total of three saying he doesn't need to eat. Only two are saying he needs to eat. And the Mishnah reveals to us that we will give him to eat, even though you're dealing with a minority opinion suggesting thusly. V'yafagav, the Gemara continues, V'yafagav d'omar Rav Safra. Even though we have a teaching of Rav Safra that says, Trei kameo mea ketrei, that two are like 100 and 100 are like two. In other words, once you've got two, numbers don't make a difference. Well, that's true. Hani mili linyan edus. That's when you've got testimony. In other words, if you have 100 witnesses saying that he saw, that they saw Mr. X take a loan, and that Mr. X is obligated, and you've got two witnesses saying that Mr. X did not take the loan, so they cancel each other out, and we don't give extra credence to the testimony of the 100 just because they're more. Aval le'inyan umdana, however, when it comes to matters that aren't of a testimony nature but rather of an evaluative nature, you need to evaluate something. Boser deos aslinan, we follow the numbers. V'hani milinyan umdana de mamona, that is true when it comes to an estimation that concerns something financial, something of value, of a monetary nature. Then, if something needs to be evaluated and you have a disagreement, we will follow the majority opinion on the value of that particular item. Avol hocha sofek nefashos hu. But over here, in our Mishnah, we're dealing with a matter of life, and life, something life-threatening. Under such circumstances, even though it's a case of umdana, it's a case that needs evaluation or estimation, nevertheless, we will not follow the deos, the numbers of people. And hence, we had described that our Mishnah featured a case where there were three saying he doesn't need to eat, two saying he does. We're not going to allow the majority to settle the matter, and we will feed him because there are two, even though the two are less than the three, the two are saying he needs to eat. The Gemara asks, V'homi dekotoni seifa. Up till now, we've set up the Mishnah as where the Chayla is saying that he needs to eat. But the Seifa says, I'm sorry, let us correct ourselves. Up till now, we've set up the Mishnah where the Chayla himself is saying he does not need to eat. And we created a Chiddush just now that even though the Chayla is saying he doesn't need to eat, and you have two other doctors with him saying he doesn't need to eat, we'll follow the minority opinion of the two doctors that say he needs to eat. So the Mishnah was set up so far as Chayla is saying, I don't need to eat. But v'hami dekotoni seifa v'imein shom b'kiyim ma'chile noisoi al piatzmo. The seifa of the Mishnah says if there are no doctors, so we feed the patient based on his own request to eat. So it seems that the Chayla in our Mishnah is saying, I need to eat. Michlal de Reisha de Omar Tzorach. It must be that the Reisha case, the earlier case where there were doctors, is a case where that patient is saying, I need to eat. Not like we set it up before. The Gemara responds with one of two answers. We have two answers. Number one, Chisure Mechasra Vahochi Kotoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, and if you fill in the missing information, it reads as follows. Bamed vamurim, when are we machil al pi bekiyin? When do we feed a person based on the doctors? The omar lo tzorachani, where the patient says, I don't need. Well, he's saying, I don't need. We're going to listen to the doctors. Avol Omar Tzorechani, but if the patient says, I need to eat, Ein Shom Bekiyin Trey, Elo Chad, the Omar Lo Tzorech. You have the Chola saying, I need to eat, and you have only one doctor saying he does not need to eat. Machilin Oisel Pi Atzmo. We will feed the patient. So if you have a patient saying I need to eat and one doctor saying he does not need to eat, we will feed the patient. Mor bor Rav Ashi disagrees with what we just said, and he says Mor bor Rav Ashi Omar kol hechod yomar tzorchani, where a patient says I need to eat, even if there are 100 that say he does not need to eat, we will listen to the patient. The heart knows its own bitterness. A person knows, he knows how he feels, and if he feels he needs to eat, even if there are 100 saying he doesn't need, we don't listen to them. Tanan. We continue, and you can see we're going now back into a question mode. Imein shom bekiyin machilin oisoi al pi atzmoi. If there are no experts, so we give him to eat because he is desirous of such. Time of the lek bekiyin. That's because there are no doctors. Ha iko bekiyin. If there are doctors, then we won't feed him based on his desire. Well, that's against what we just said a line before. Lev yoder emoras nafshoi. We're seeing here that the only time we listen to the person is if there are no doctors. But if there are doctors that are saying to the contrary, then we won't feed him. Hochi komar. So in defense of what we've said, we answer. Bamed vamamurim. When is it that we're machil al pi bekiyin, that we based our feeding on the doctors? The Omar lo sorachani. That's where the patient says, I don't need to eat. But you have a doctor saying, you have doctors saying he needs to eat, so we give him. Avol, Omar tzorachani. If the patient says, I need to eat. Ein shom bekiyin klal. That means that there is no expertise other than the patient. So, that which the Mishnah said, if there are no bekiyin, it doesn't mean literally if there are no doctors. It means whatever medical information that might be said to the contrary of the patient's desire to eat is null and void. That's the ein shum. It's as if it's not there. And therefore, machilin osal piatzmo shenema leiv yodea moras nafsho. We feed him because of that which the Pasuk says, a person knows his own bitterness. A person knows his own needs better than anyone else. We continue with a new Mishnah, which is medical in nature. Mi sh'ochso bulmus machilin oisoi afilu dvorim temeim ad shi'oru enof. A person who's been overtaken, he's been seized by bulmus. Bulmus is an intense desire to eat. Rashi says, chili ha'oches machmas ravon. As a result of someone being famished, this level of desire to eat can take over a person, and he can be he can actually be quite endangered as a result of this. And therefore, we're talking, of course, on Yom Kippur. We will feed him by the way, it doesn't mean, we're not limiting ourselves to Yom Kippur, because the Mishnah is telling us a Chiddush that we'll feed him even unkosher things. So you have the Yom Kippur aspect, you have the unkosher aspect. We overlook all of those considerations because of the person's state. Ad shia oru enof, until he regains clear vision. Rashi points out that a person who's in a state of bulmus, so his eyesight is dimmed. So we feed him until his eyesight is restored. Misha noshchoi kelev shoita ein machilno sal mechatzah kovet shaloi. A person who was bitten by a kelev shoita. We can assume a kelev shoita is a dog afflicted by rabies. Even though we generally don't want to commit ourselves to translation, nevertheless, from that which the Gemara describes, it would seem to be a fair translation of kelev shoita. Literally, the kelev shoita would be a dog that is a fool, but obviously it doesn't mean that. So a person who's been bitten by a rabies afflicted dog, we don't feed the patient from the dog's liver. Apparently there was this idea, and you see the next opinion of the Mishnah of Masya ben Chorosh Matir, you have a machlokas in whether that is considered something of therapeutic value, the dog's liver. The Ode Omar of Masya ben Chorosh, another point he makes, Hachoshish begroinoi, a person who feels discomfort in his throat, Matilin losam besoch piv b'shabbos. We feed him the required medicine on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day, generally speaking, that refuas, medicinal procedures are prohibited. There's a fear that if we allow people to take medicines on Shabbos, they're going to end up preparing them from scratch, from raw materials, and that involves grinding, that involves tchina, which is grinding, which is one of the avos malachas. In the rabbinic literature, is known as shchikas samamonim, the grinding of the herbs, of the medicines. So we allow, however, a person who's choshish begrono to take the medicine on Shabbos, neshu sofek nefoshos, because there is an issue here of of something life-threatening, or possibility, that is. The suffix means a doubt, that maybe there is something that's of life-endangering nature. V'chol suffix nefashas deche es ha-shabbos. And anything that is of that level of severity, of suffix nefashas, overrules Shabbos. Mi shenofla lov ma'poilus, a person who upon whom there fell an avalanche, or a building caved in, suffik husham, suffik enosham, there's a doubt whether someone is there under the rubble, maybe not. Suffik chai, suffik mace, there's a doubt whether he's still alive or already dead. Suffik husi, suffik Yisrael, there's a doubt whether maybe it's an idol worshiper or a Jew. Mefachin olav esagal, we will remove the gal. The gal is the rubble, the pile, and let us make the assumption that in order to do that, you're involving yourself with molochos of Shabbos. So, in the interest of saving someone, even though the circumstances are doubtful, nevertheless, we allow this type of chilul Shabbos to take place. Matzu chai mefachin. If you find the person under the rubble to be alive, then you continue removing the rubble, even though it involves chilul Shabbos. Ve'im meis yanichu. If the person is dead, leave him there. The Gemara refers to the Mishnah that mentioned that we feed him until ya'oru einav, until his eyesight is regained. Tanu rabbanan, minayin ho yoydim shiru einav. How would you know that his eyesight has been restored? Answer: Mishiyavchin bein toiv l'ra. When he can distinguish between that which is good and that which is not. Amar Abaye uvataymon. Abaye explains when you say between that which is good and which is not, it's a reference of tasting food. So that if you present to the person some dish that's horrible tasting, and he says it tastes good, so you know he's not well yet. In other words, his evaluation has to correspond to what the actual status of the food is. Tanu Rabbanan, Misha Ochso Bumus, Machilin Esei HaKal HaKal. This also serves as our heading for the sukya, that a person who is overtaken by Bumus, we have to feed him food, but the only food available is something that's not allowed if you're dealing with a regular person, a healthy person, we're dealing with prohibited foodstuffs. So the rule is, give him initially that which is less severe, less of an offense, a lower level sin. Give him that first and see if that restores him. And if not, so you will increase the level of you'll increase the level of sin, so to speak, in giving him more prohibited food that's more prohibited than others. Just to as far as examples are concerned, actually the source itself provides that. So under our note on the side where we introduce the nosei, mishach sabumus machinaso hakal isur kal hakal, we give him hakal hakal, the lesser level offense items first. Another point that the Gemara will feature is a machlokes tanoim ma yoiser kal. What is considered a more lenient, tevel o truma, untithed produce, or truma tithe, which is eaten only by kohanim? Both are forbidden to non-kohanim. Tevel is forbidden to everybody as well. Let's turn back to the Gemara. We saw the source beginning with someone who was overtaken by bumus machir soha kal akal, and examples. Tevel unavela. You have a choice. Either feed him untithed produce or unslaughtered or improperly slaughtered meat. Machilin oisoi nevela. Better to give him nevela than tevel. Nevela represents something that's a negative command. It's a lav. Tevel is something that carries with it a more severe penalty known as Misa Bidei Shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. We continue in the source. Tevel u'shvias, let's say your choice is either Tevel, the untied produce, or Shvias. That's a reference to Shemitah products, fruits, vegetables of the seventh year after the Zman Bior. There's a certain time during the year when that particular fruit is no longer in season. So if you have any of those kinds of fruits in your house, you have to get rid of them. So when it goes out of season, during the sabbatical year, it's no longer something you're allowed to eat. So if this is your choice, Tevel versus Shvias, better give him Shvias. Give him the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year fruit after its Zman Bior. So far, we saw, what did we do? We saw Tevel versus Neveva and Tevel versus Shvias, and in each case, the Tevel was the more severe. Now, a question. Tevel u'truma tanoi hi. As far as if your choice is Tevel versus Truma, that is a machlokas tanoim. Desanya, machlokas Tevel in machlokas Truma. The Tanakhama says, if the person is a victim of bulmus and he has to be fed, and your choice is either Tevel or Truma, give him the Tevel, not the Truma. Ben Tema Omer Truma, Velo Tevel. He says just the opposite. Better to give him the Truma, not the Tevel. Omar Rabo. Heicha de Efshir Bechulin de Kule Alma Lo Pligi de Mesakninon Le Umasfinon Le. Rabo says that if there is enough chulin food after you do the tithing, enough chulin on its own to restore the person, to restore the misha also bulmus, so tithe first and give the patient the chulin, the allowed food. In fact, this point that Rambam's making right now is kind of obvious, and the Gemara will ask that on the top of Amud Beis. But in the meantime, Rambam is saying that where there's enough produce that after the tithing, you would have enough chulin, tithed stuff to give the patient, that's the way to go. Everyone will agree. The Mesakninon, with three lines from the bottom, Mesakninon means we fix it, we do the tithing. Umasfinon, Masfinon means we feed the patient with the chulin. Ki pligi, the machlekes tanoim that we saw, Tanakama versus Ben Tema, is bidalo efshir bechulin. In other words, there isn't enough chulin on its own. The only hope for the patient would be that he eats the entire quantity of produce that's there. Now, in eating the entire quantity of produce, so if you leave it untithed, it's called tevel. If you tithe it, so then he'll eat obviously all of the chulin, but he's going to have to eat also the truma that I set aside. So the machlokes is where the patient needs to eat all of the food. Mor sovar tevel chomor. Ben Tema, who said that you should tithe, give him truma, not tevel, is saying tevel is more chomor. Umor sovar, the Tanakama, who said first tithe. Let's correct ourselves. The Tanakhama said, he said, do not tithe. He said, give him tevel and don't give him truma, because according to Tanakhama, truma is a more severe offense. Mor sovar, tevel chomor, avot truma chazil kain. Ben Tema said to give him truma. Why? Because tevel is a more severe offense than for a non-kohen to eat truma. But truma, it's not so bad because there is someone it is fit for. Chazi l'kayin, it's fit for kayin. Tevel is not fit for anybody. So that's why Ben Tema says if that's your choice to leave the produce untithed, and then you'd be feeding him tevel, or tithe it, and granted some of it is truma is really forbidden, but nevertheless, according to Ben Tema, give him the truma and don't leave it untithed. The Tanakama, though, more so, the Tanakama said, give him the tevel. He holds truma chamura. Truma is more severe. Aval tevel efshir l'skune. The nature of tevel is something that it lends itself to be mitukan, to be fixed. And the chulin that will result is something that is fit for everybody to eat. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Efshir b'chulin, Rabba said that if there's enough food there that once you tithe it, he could eat and get better based on the chulin itself. Pshita, that's obvious. What do I need Rabba to spell that out for? Loi tzricha b'Shabbos. The circumstances here, you're dealing with on Shabbos. And when we speak about Shabbos, so there is an Isur Derabbanan, there's a prohibition of tithing Trumas and Maisris on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, B'Shabbos Nami Pshita, what is Rabba telling us? Rabba is telling us that a person who is overtaken by Bulmus, where there's enough chulin, so tithe it, go ahead and go. That's what you should do. So the Gemara says, so what is Shabbos? It's obvious. By saying that Rabba is speaking about a case of Shabbos and that's the Chiddush, that's no Chiddush, that's no novel point. That's obviously allowed. Tiltul midirabonenhu. The act of separating is a function of moving one, the tithe, apart from the rest of the produce. What's the problem over here that I need Rabba to say, go ahead and tithe it anyway? So the Gemara says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, there's a Chiddush here. The Chiddush is, be'otzitz she'eno nokuv derabonon. You're dealing here with the produce that grew in a flower pot that has no hole in it. Produce that grows in an otzitz she'eno nokuv. The fact there's no hole means it's not really connected to the ground. If there's a hole in it, so there's this idea that the nutrients of the ground permeate through the soil up into the hole of the whole flower pot. And hence the produce that's growing in there is said to be attached to the ground. And something like that needs to be tithed from a Torah level perspective. However, if we say we're talking in this Mishnah about an otzitz she'eno nokuv, and Rabba's din is saying where you can give him chulin, and that would be as a result of your tithing, and there will be enough chulin, everyone agrees, go ahead and do it. So the situation, though, that has the chiddush in it, is we're talking about an unholed flower pot, where the whole tevel that's there, that the untithed produce growing under such circumstances itself is only a rabbinic offense. Mor sovar ben tema, who said, give him the truma, he holds tevel chomor. Tevel, leaving it untithed, would be a more severe problem. Therefore, separate the truma from the rest of the chulin. And the feeling is that if we would not insist on that, but leave it as tevel, people will come to allow tevel d'oraisa as well. People will think that there's no problem in eating untithed produce. So Ben Tema's approach is to preempt any severe mistake from taking later on. Umor Sohar, the Gemara continues, fourth line from the top in the middle, the Tanakama holds, Truma Chamura. Leave it as Tevel, because to have the patient eat Truma would be a more severe offense. Lema Kitanoi, that which Rabo said, we want to set up as a Machlokas Tonim. So we're asking a question, last a few lines, shall we say that which Rabo teaches, that namely, it's what does Rabo teach? That where there's enough Hulin, even though we're talking about an unholed flower pot, where the issue is only of a rabbinic nature, and in order for him to go ahead and tithe, he's violating the rules of Shabbos. So Rabbo's din, that it's better to get up and violate the rules of Shabbos. We're not dealing, of course, with an Iser Doraisa. We're dealing with simple movement of the tithes. But better to do that than to feed him Tevel Derabonon. We want to say that idea is a Machlokes Tanoim. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, Misha Nashchay Nachash, someone who was bitten by a snake. Korin Lerofe Mokom Lemokom. We will summon a doctor from one place to another. Wherever the nearest doctor is, get him from wherever he is. Umekaren Loyes Atarnagilis, and we'll tear open a chicken in order to place it on the bite wound. There was this perception that a torn chicken placed on the wound will be of benefit. V'gezizin loy esakreshin, and we remove the gezizin loy esakreshin. Rashi says min amachuber. We will cut kreshin as a type of vegetation from the ground in order to feed him. Umachilin oisoi v'ein tzorch la'aser. We feed him this without tithing. Divrei Rebbe. So you're feeding him Kreshin Tevel. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon Oimer. Lo yochal ad she'aser. No eating until tithing. So now, we want to take this machlokes tanoi between Rebbe and Rebbe Lozer Shimon and say that Rabbo, who said that it's better to be mafrish, will be in accordance with Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. So, Neima, Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, he, velo, Rebbe, should we therefore conclude that Rabbo's comment concerning tithing, go ahead and tithe the rabbinic growth, rabbinic requirement, even though it's Shabbos? So, the question comes to an end over here, where shall we therefore say that Rabbo fits in, conforms only to the opinion of Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, and not Rebbe? Moshe says, not so. Afilu Teima Rebbe. That which Rabbo said can fit in to the scheme of things as Rebbe sees it. What did Rebbe say? Feed him the untithed. What did Rabbo say? Rabbo said that if you can tithe, then you should go ahead and tithe. In other words, if there's enough hulin for the sick man to eat and get better with, then go ahead, you should tithe. So that the comment made by Rabbo seems to be not in agreement with Rebbe. The Gemara continues. Afilu teimo Rebbe. No, Rabbo can agree with Rebbe. Ad kan lo koma Rebbe hosam. Up till now, Rebbe said that don't bother tithing, Elo le'inyin meiser yerek derabonan, because that was dealing with a type of tithe that is vegetable tithing, and the Torah has no requirement to tithe from vegetables. That's purely rabbinic. Avol be'meiser dogon. However, the topic that Rabbo was dealing with was grains. The Tevel Doraisahu, the Torah expects a person to tithe from his grains. So when you're dealing with Meiser Dogon, with grains that need to be tithed, Afilu Rebbe Moideh, even Rebbe will concede that even in a case where it's an otzitz she'eino nakuv, where the chiyuv is derabbanan, Rebbe will concede that you should first tithe. To e shoris lay the otzitz she'eino nakuv, if you will allow him to eat the produce grown in the unwhole flower pot without tithing, osi lemecha ba'otzitz she'eino nakuv, people will come to eat from the hold flower pot without tithing, and that would be an isur d'oraisa. So what we have done in the last section of Gemara is we saw Rabba mention that if there's enough hulin that will enable the patient to get better, then go ahead and tithe. And we pointed out the chiddush of Rabba is, even though you're dealing with an otzitz she'eino nakuv, hence that which was growing in it is obligated in being tithed only on a rabbinic level, nevertheless go ahead and tithe, even though it happens to be only rabbinic, and you are doing so on Shabbos. So we're telling us that the need to tithe supersedes the fact that it's Shabbos, and even though the whole need is only rabbinic to begin with. But nevertheless, it's very important to, as we just saw the Svara and the Gemara now, to preempt anyone from thinking that you can eat grains without tithing. And that would lead to a problem if the grains grew in a hold flower pot. Continuing in the Gemara, on the side we have a topic heading, Mi she ochso bumus machil eso dvash v'chomine masika. Person who is overcome by bumus, so the recommendation is to feed him sweets. The Gemara, Mi she ochso bumus machil eso dvash, we feed him honey v'chomine masika, and all other kinds of sweet things. Shadvash v'chomine masika me'irin mo'or enov shel odom. These sweet things improve the eyesight of a person. We mentioned before, a person is suffering from bulimia, so his eyesight becomes dimmed. So, v'afal pi shein raya ledover, zech ledover, even though there's no actual direct proof, there is nevertheless an allusion to this. The pasuk says, re'u no ki oru einai ki to'amti ma'at dvash hazeh. So in the pasuk, you see him saying, notice, he says, he calls out, my eyesight is restored because I tasted a little bit of this honey, honey being the sweet thing. The Gemara asks, umai afal pi shein raya ledover, what's the hesitation of presenting this as an actual source? And as we said, it's only a zecher ledover, we said it's only an allusion. It seems fairly direct. The Gemara says, no. The Hosam Lav Bumus Achze. The Posuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yudal, Posuk of Tes, that we just quoted at the end of the source, Runo Kiyor Einai Ki Ma'atamti Mat Dvash Hazeh, we're talking about someone that was not afflicted by Bumus. So it can't serve, that Posuk can't serve as a direct proof that Mine Masika helps for a Bumus patient. Omar Abaye. Lo shanu, elo liachar achila. The effectiveness of the mine masika, that's if it's after the meal. Aval kodem achila, but before the meal, migrar gorir. The sweets, the dvash, will happen to increase one's appetite. This sounds a little bit different than the popular perception that if you eat sweets before dinner, so you're not going to have any appetite. In this Gemara is saying the opposite, that by eating sweets before dinner, that will increase your appetite. And the proof to that is, and we should just mention before we read the proof, is that there are situations where we don't want the person to have an increased appetite. So the pasuk says, Vayimtsu ish mitzri basodeh v'chosel David, an Egyptian man was found in the fields, and they brought him to David. Vayitnu lo lechem vayochal vayashku mayim vayitnu lo pelech tvela v'shnei tzimukim. The pasuk describes them feeding this man, but what did they give him first? They gave him first his bread, called the main meal, and after that, pelech tvela, that's a section of a pressed fig cake, and then also shnei tzimukim, they gave him two raisins. Vayochal vatoshav rucho elav, he ate and his spirit was restored. Kilo ochal lechem v'lo shosamayim shloisha yom shloisha leilos. This person had been fasting, had been without food for 3 full 24-hour day periods. So what we have seen so far is someone who is afflicted by bulmus, give him straight away some mine masika, some sweets. We pointed out that the sweets are beneficial after the meal. However, if you give him the sweets before the meal, that will only increase his appetite. We could continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel Mishal Sobulmus, person who is overtaken by this ravenous seizure, machilin oso alya bidvash. We feed him. Alya is a very fatty meat. It's a fat tail of a sheep with in honey. Rav Uno Brei de Rav Yeshua Amar af soilus nikiya bidvash. Even if it's not fat meat, but it's some fine flour, we would give him that mixed with honey. Rav Papa Amar afilu kimchi desairi bidivsha. Even barley flour, which is considered a lower quality flour than the Seilus Nikia, even that, give him barley flour with honey. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Pamachas Achazdani Bulmus. I was once afflicted by bulmus. V'ratzti Mizrocha Shoteinu, and I ran to the eastern side of a fig tree, and I took figs from there. V'kiyamti Batzmi, and I fulfilled regarding myself Echochma Techaye Be'aleo. Wisdom preserves he who possesses it. Detani Rav Yosef. Now, we're going to hear, we're going to explain what was the wisdom behind what Rav Yochanan did. So, Rav Yosef teaches, Haroitza Litoim Tam Teina, person who wants to have a good taste of a fig, Yifne Lemizrocha, he should go to the eastern side, the eastern part of the tree. Shenemar Vimeged Tvuos Shemesh. The word meged is a reference to ma'adanim, so sweets, delicacies. It is the result, it's the produce of the sun. So on the eastern side of the tree, the sun beats down on it from morning, from sunrise, till midday. So it has a lot of intense sun exposure. That sweetens the fruits. And that, of course, that's what Rabbi Yochanan's wisdom did for him. He was victimized by bulmus. He ran to the eastern side of the fig tree, took the sweet figs from there, and preserved himself. We continue in the Gemara. You can see diamonds appear, and on the side, the under the mivne heading, they represent shnei maisim. There are two incidents, the Havak Azli Ba'urcha Rabiuda Rabiosi. Two stories, the points in common, because in terms of content there's nothing in common, but the common point is that it involves Rabiuda and Rabiosi traveling on the road. So the first story is related to our Sukya. Rabiuda Rabiosi, Havak Azli Ba'urcha, they were on the road. Achse Bulmus Le Rebbe Yehuda, Rabiuda was seized by Bulmus. Kapchei l'roya, achli l'rifta. He, because of the urgency of the situation, he overpowered a shepherd and took his bread. He needed to eat something. Omar le Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, kipach tasara. Look, you grabbed away from the shepherd his food. Kimotu l'masa, achsebu mas Rabbi Yossi. Now, when they got to town, Rabbi Yossi became victimized by Bulmus, and the people saw that he was in that state. Ahadruhu belogi vitzoi. Ahadru means they surrounded him with flasks of honey and bowls full of food. The whole town came out to help Rabbi Yossi. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda with a little maybe smirk on his face says, "Ani kipachti asaroa." Granted, it wasn't a wonderful thing to do, but I had to do it. But I grabbed from one shepherd. And look what you're causing. You're causing the whole town to come out with food for you. Of course, there are obvious differences in the case, but the point being, in terms of amount of food that you are causing to be given away, is much more than what happened with me. Vesu, another story. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. Havu ko azli buchen. We have a long marking here to show the length of the story. These three Tanoim were on a trip. Rabbi Meir havadayik b'shma. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi lo havadayiku b'shma. Rabbi Meir used to pay close attention. Dayik is to be precise with regard to people's names. He, by hearing someone's name, he would conclude whether the host is a positive or negative character. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi did not adopt that approach to names. Kimotu lahu duchta ba'u shmisa. They got to their destination, and they needed a place to stay. Yahavu le. So they directed them to a place. They gave them a place to stay. Omru le. They asked the host, ma shimcha. What's your name? Omar lahu kidor. My name is Kidor. Omar, Rabbi Meir, upon hearing that his name was Kidor, he said, Shma min adam roshehu. He said to himself that this shows that this is an evil man. Shenamar, there's a pasuk that says Kidor tapuchos hema. This pasuk is of a critical nature. It's not complimentary by any stretch of the imagination. This is a generation. The pasuk says Kidor tapuchos. It's a generation that's topsy turvy, to give a kind of literal translation, where they don't follow the Ratzon Hashem. They flip everything over. So in the pasuk, you see we dash the line Ki Dor. That's like the putting the two words together. You get the fellow's name, Kidder. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, the story, by the way, is taking place on a Friday afternoon. They enter this host's location. And it's Erev Shabbos, as we said. So they entrusted to him Ashlimu le kisayu. They entrusted by him their wallets of money. Rabbi Meir lo ashim le kisayu. Rabbi Meir did not entrust his kis, his pouch, to Kidor. Also, Rabbi Meir oisve bekado. Rabbi Meir went and put his wallet in a jar, the kivre be kivri davua, and beavua davua dahu gavro bereshe. Rabbi Meir went and buried it in the family cemetery, Kidder's family cemetery, next to the head of Kidder's father. Ishazi le bechilme. Kidder had a Friday afternoon or Friday night dream, and in the dream his father comes and says, Toshoku kisa, come and take the pouch, the wallet, the monach aresha de gavra, that's next to the head of me. You know, Hahu Gavra is a third person way of speaking, but it's a reference to himself. So, to make matters simple, Kidder is having a Friday dream that there's money near his father's head in the grave. Ulamachar, Omar lay. The next day, Kidder tells Rabbi Meir, "Hochi is chazi le bechamoy. You know, I had a dream that my father said there was a pouch of money near my head, near my head, meaning near the father's head." Omar le, so Rabbi Meir said, "Chilma de Bei Shimshi les behu mamosha." Bei Shimshi is a reference to Friday, Erev Shabbos. Dreams have no substance. And Rashi says he said that only to push him off, that the kiddush shouldn't take things too serious and then go scoop up Rabbi Meir's wallet from there. Also, Rabbi Meir, Natre Kuleyoma Vaisei. Rabbi Meir was now quite cautious, and he went there to that grave, and stood there all day, spent all of Shabbos watching that no one comes to that grave. And then after Shabbos, Vaisei brought it in. Lamochar Amru Lo, the next day, Sunday morning, checkout time, so Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi say, Hav Lon Kisan, give us our wallets. Omar Lahu, Kidder says, what wallets? Lo Yud Vilam, never happened. Never gave me anything to watch. Total denial. Omar Lahu, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir turns to his colleagues, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and says, Amai Lo Dai Kisu Bishma, why aren't you careful with names, Amru Le, Amai Lo Amr Slan Mor, why didn't you tell us about this? Amar Luhu, so Rabbi Meir responds, I didn't want to initiate telling you, hey, this guy's got the name indicating he's a Rasha, Amar the Amri Ano Hashosha, because my whole approach to the issue of the name is it raises an element of doubt or suspicion, Achzuki Mi Amri, but to definitively classify the person as a wicked man because he has such a name, would I say such a thing? So that was Rabbi Meir's response to them. But they said, well, why didn't you tell us he was wicked? So he says, I couldn't tell you he was definitively wicked. Mashchuhu v'ailuhu l'chanusa. The story continues where they, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, are out of their wallets right now, so they drew him, they convinced him to go into a bar. A chanusa is a place where they sell the intoxicating drinks. Ashkiul chamra, and they gave him some wine. Chazun tilfachi asfame. They noticed that he had some tilfachi adoshim, sometimes people translate that as lentils, was on his mouth. Meaning was leftovers. There was some debris from his food that he ate at his most recent meal. Oslu viyavu simono lidvisu. They went and gave a sign to his wife. Dvisu is Kidder's wife, saying to Kidder's wife, they said that your husband sent us to get our wallets and to just to prove that he told us you had dinner with him and you had lentils as your food. Rashi says, and Rashi takes up both columns, by the way, on this daf. Yavu Simona Levisu Baalech Omar, your husband said Shetitni Lanu Kisenu, that you should give us our wallets. Vizeloch Simin, and this is the sign, Shachaltem Hayom Adoshim, because you ate Adoshim today. Well, sounds very convincing. So she gave them their wallets. Let's read that in the Gemara again. Ozlu Viavu Simonu Visu Vishakluhu the Kisai Vaisu. They took their Kisai, their wallets, Vaisu, and went. When Kidder became aware of what happened, he went and he killed his wife. Hainu Desanya. It's based on this that we have the following brisa. 2 points are mentioned in the brisa. Mayim Rishonim Hechilu Basar Chazir. Mayim Achronim Hargu Es Hanefesh. The latter part of this source is of what's direct relevance to us. Mayim Achronim is the hand washing that people do at the end of their meal. It's designed to clear off any melech stomus that might be stuck on your fingers, which could lead to blindness otherwise. So we have a practice known Mayim Achronim. The lack of Mayim Achronim in the case, we should point out that when people wash the Mayim Achronim, the water, achronim means at the end, this is a washing at the end of one's meal. The practice is to wipe your hands on your face, on your mouth at the same time. That would have wiped off the adoshim, but Kiddur didn't do mayim achronim. Hence the adoshim were left on his mouth, and hence Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda were able to give the wife the sign, but get their wallets back, which all resulted in her being killed. The Reisha, the first part, speaks about another story unrelated to this Gemara. Mayim Rishonim Hechilu Basar Chazir. Rashi tells us there was a person that had a type of an eatery, and in the eatery there was kosher food and also unkosher food. The host, or the owner, was a Jew. Anyone that he saw washing their hands before their meal, we call Netilas Yadayim, that was a sign that this was a Jew, and he would give him kosher food. If a person would walk in and sit down directly without washing their hands first, so it was a sign that he was a non-Jew, and he would give him basar chazir, give him pig meat, bacon, ham, etc. Once it happened that a Jew walked in, didn't wash his hands, and the store owner fed him the basar chazir, thinking that he was not Jewish. We continue, the story continues, with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, after seeing what happened with Kiddur, the name, Ula Basof, Havu Daiki Bishmo. And at the end, they too paid attention to names. Kimotu Lahu Besa, Dishme Bella. They came to the house, the host's name was Bella. Lo Ailu Lugabe, they didn't go in. Amri, they figured Shma Mino Roshahu, that is the person, this host, this homeowner is a wicked man. Dechtiv, the pasuk which indicates this, it says Va'omar La Bola, there's the word Bella, La Bola Niufim. Niufim has to do with immorality and incestuousness. We continue. The Mishnah mentioned Misha Noshoi Kelev Shoita, someone who was bitten by a rabid dog, Vichule. The Mishnah had a Machlikas Panoyim, whether you can feed the victim from the dog's liver. Tanu Rabbanan. Here, the Gemara focuses on a rabid dog. The topic heading on the side, we've written Kelev Shoita, Mama Afyenuso, what are its characteristics? Mimai have it. What does it come from? And refuos lemi shebo b'magito, different remedies for people who have some type of contact with this rabid dog. The Gemara Tana Rabbanan Hamisha Dvarim Nemru Bekelef Shoita. There are five things said about this kind of dog. Piv pasuach, its mouth is open. For rear notef, and it drools. Riro is its saliva. Notef is dripping. The oznov suchos, its ears are floppy. They're large and bent downwards. Uznavoi unachas lo bein yirechosev, and its tail is between its thighs. Umahalich betziri drochem, and it walks along the sides of the road. V'yeshomrim af noveach ve'ein kolu nishman. Some say it will appear to be barking, but no sound comes out. Mimai have, what does it result from? What does this result from? Rav Omar Noshim Kashvonis Mesachakis Boy. Rav says that it's the result of women that are practicing their witchcraft on the dog. Ushmuel Omar Ruach Ra Shura Olov. Shmuel says it's not witchcraft, but it's rather an evil spirit that is upon it. My binayu, what's the difference between describing the dog as being the victim of witchcraft or evil spirit? Iko binayu, there is a point of difference. And the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Pei Dalid. The difference is lemiktale bedavar hanizrak. The dog needs to be killed. Do you kill it by something that whereby you have no contact with it? In other words, something that's shot at it, an arrow or throw a knife at it. Don't kill it by direct hand. Don't strangle it, for example. So, according to Shmuel, that it comes from a ruach ra, don't get near it. Don't handle it. According to Rav, if it's the victim of witchcraft, so then the actual, your contact with it won't cause you any harm. Tanya Kavosi de Shmuel, a Tanaic source supports Shmuel, Kishahorgen Oso, Ein Horgen Oso, Abedover HaNizrak. Don't kill it other than through some projectile. Don't have direct contact with the dog. The Chayef Bey Mistakein, the Nochis Le Mayas. If the Kelef Shoita rubs into you, that can endanger you. If it bites you, then it is death. And the Gemara goes over these two points, and we have the numbers, and they're encircled as we go on. The Chayef Bey Mistakein, Mai Takante. Let's say a person was rubbed by this Kelef Shoita. We say you become endangered. What's the solution? Mai Takante, what's the solution? So the Gemara gives a solution, and we'll point out ahead of time, we do this often when learning these kinds of Gemaras in Gemara markings, that there are things in the Gemara that on the to the modern Western mind appear rather strange. Let us accept a little bit of humility and realize that we don't understand everything that we are seeing here, and there are references to other deeper, more abstract things that are beyond the purview of our shiur. So with that, we'll call that disclaimer in mind, we continue. Nishlach, if a person was rubbed into by the Kelef Shoita, Nishlach Monei V'nish Dinu Kamei, should take off his clothing and throw it in front of the dog. The near hit and run. The chiha de Rav Huna, braid Rav Yeshua, chof be chad minayu b'shuka. He was rubbed into by one of them, one of these sick dogs. Shalchinu lemone v'shodi kamei v'royet. He took off his clothing, threw it in front of the dog, and ran. Omar, and he said, kiyamti b'atzmi, I fulfilled it within myself, hechochma techaye b'alel. That he who is wise, wisdom preserveth the possessors thereof. The nochis le mayas, one who's bitten by the Kelef Shoita, will die. Mai takante, so what solution exists for him? Omar Abaye, nesi, Abaye says, nesi, bring mashcha de apo de dichra, bring the skin. An apo is a creature, a type of animal, in Rashi calls it a savua, and he also gives it a French word. And that's a kind of animal, and it's the dichra, male. So get the skin of a male apo. V'nichtuv alei, and write on it the following. The following is an incantation. It lasts four lines. There are two versions within the four lines. Ano planyo bar planisa. A person writes his name, his mother's name. I am so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Amashcho de apo dichro kasivno aloch. Upon the apo, the male apo's skin, I am writing. Now here, these are just words that don't have any, we can't even translate them. Kanti, kanti, klirus. It's an incantation. The Amri Law, another version. Kandi, kandi, kloros. Ko, ko, Hashem, svokos, omein, omein, selah. That's the nusach, the text that one is to write on the male apo skin. And then what? Finish lechinu, lemone. And then you're to take off your clothes. Filik berinu, be kavri, the precious drachim, and then bury them in a grave that's at a crossroads, ad shresa yarchi shosa, for a period of 12 months. Labosar hachi nafkinu. After that, exhume them, dig them up, v'niklinu b'tanura, and burn them in an oven. V'nivdarinu l'kitmei aproshas drachim, and then take the ashes and scatter them on the crossroads. V'anach tresi yarchi shasa, during those 12 months, kishosimaya, when you want to drink, lo lishti, ela begufso de nechosha, drink, but use a, gufso is a straw, de nechosha, copper straw. In other words, don't drink over a glass. Because if you drink over a glass of water, you might see your reflection in the water. So this, by using this straw, you're able to distance yourself from the cup from which you want to drink. What's the problem if you see a reflection? Dilma chazi babua deshida velistikain. You see the dog, this kelev shaita, there might have been a demon that went from it and jumped upon you, and you will see this. That's what Rashi says on the upper part of the narrow lines, the third narrow line, says the shade shekofetz min hakelev olav umistakein. This demon might have jumped from the dog onto you, and you'll see its reflection in the water, and that will lead to danger. So to avoid that danger, drink with a straw. Kiha de Abba Bar Marta, hu Abba Bar Minyumi. Abba Bar Marta is also known as Abba Bar Minyumi. Avda le ime gufsa de dava v'itzi. Apparently he was victim of all this, and his mother made for him a copper straw, and he got better. Once again, the last section of more might have seemed a little bit esoteric, to put it mildly. We tried to translate it, but also mentioned that there's much more than the mere translation. That having been said, before we conclude, let's just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.